You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.
Let's turn our attention to Napa Mayor Scott Sedgley, who joins us again now for our weekly visit. Mayor, welcome in again. Thank you.
Thank you, Barry. Good morning, and good morning, Taylor.
Good morning.
Yeah. So let's dive right in. Last week at this time when we talked, you were getting ready for the 2 days of council planning session and priority setting. How did that all work out?
Not your normal goal setting or pet project identification setting as I've experienced in the past when we have a little flexibility in the budget to look at certain maybe parks or capital improvement projects that we'd like to see completed or started because of, you know, our revenue being significantly impacted by COVID. It was more of a how do we tread water here and maintain our position and continue to deliver a high level of service to the community. That was most of the talk. It starts out with our finance director giving our long-term financial forecast. And I think that comes in finance director 101 class, is you deliver your financial position first before you start talking to electeds about what they'd like to accomplish. So we had to stay at pretty much a high level of you know, overlook and policy, what we could possibly do versus really identifying certain capital improvement issues. And we will look more at that when we get the budget, when we do it later in the year. We decided we're going to do 1 year budgets. We normally are on a 2 year budget cycle, but because of the uncertainty of everything, we're moving to 1 year budget, which makes more work, but we'll be in a better position to evaluate that. So that'll start, you know, we run on a fiscal year, so that usually starts in about maybe March. But all in all, you know, we did a little bit of, you know, the team building exercise with two new council members and a new mayor. We wanted to make sure that, you know, there's that level of respect and cooperation and how we deal with staff and how we deal with the community. So all in all, it was successful. Very, very happy with that. We face some challenges ahead. We all understand what those are, and we just keep marching ahead. That's the priority, I imagine, that was really set. We have some things to finish the general plan update. You know, we got to wrap that up. We have some capital improvement projects in process that we need to wrap up. So, you know, it could be worse. I always look, you know, I'm a half full kind of guy, and we're doing good.
That's great. I got a little chuckle when you said team building exercises, because this was a Zoom thing, and I was envisioning like trust falls, but you're solo right with a computer screen.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's yeah. Friday, and my brain was.
Yeah. I remember those.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, leadership
we
Napa Valley.
And
yeah. OSHA doesn't approve, I don't think, of
yeah,
trust
probably
falls.
Not.
Yeah.
All right. Fine.
Within, obviously, like you're saying, there's limitations because of uncertainties about the budget. You don't have a lot of excess revenue to be spending. But is there a general consensus among yourself and the members of the council that certain issues, when money becomes available, need to be focused on?
A lot of it is, you know, improvement in traffic. You know, we had a lot of concern from people about speeding and the condition of some of our walkways, bicycle, you know, travel. We want to encourage alternative transportation uses. So I think as we move ahead, everybody is interested in completing those sections of the Vine Trail. Maintaining those sections, you know, a lot of bicycle riders, you know, when you ride bikes along the bike path or the shoulder, it's often littered with rocks and glass and debris. And so I think that's kind of a look is those quality of life. There's an understanding we want to focus on quality of life issues as we move forward. That's a very common topic that came up during the discussion is those kind of issues. Safety. And the biggest thing is refilling some of the positions we've frozen. We're at about 84 positions, so that has a huge impact on service. So the priority will be identifying those first positions, those critical positions, to try to begin to refill as the economy returns. And in doing that, we are looking, highest priority is maintaining, trying to keep our businesses alive, right? That's the highest part. How do we help small business, our local businesses, our restaurants, our shops? How do we keep them going to get through this? That's the most important thing for us, is to make sure our economy can survive this, our local economy.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned 84 frozen or vacant positions. Is that out of roughly 500 positions total?
Yes, and I think I saw the number. We're at about 17% of our workforce. We've lost about 17% of our workforce. I think is the number I saw. If you're good at math, if that works out, but it's. and so that has an impact. It really has an impact. Mm-hmm. And we'll change some of our work. Like a lot of people are finding out, we can work from home. Some of our positions that, you know, that come in, like in the finance department and other places, you know, they're finding that, hey, this working from home is, I can still get the job done, and I don't need a whole lot of office space. And it's interesting about timing. You know, when we were, the huge thing 4 years ago was our new city hall, and our new police and our new buildings, right? And all this great space to put these people in. This has taught us that we might not need all that space. And most of us are feeling pretty thankful that was put on an indefinite hold. If we were right in the middle of trying to build that now, I mean, construction is going on. That's one industry that hasn't been hit too terribly hard, right? You know, with the COVID, is construction still going on. Certain buildings are not, but, a lot of the big projects are still happening. Mm-hmm. So we would have completed it, but it might have been it could have been very difficult on a lot of fronts. Yeah. If we were doing that now. Mm.
So another big local story this week, City of Napa, you have an interim police chief potentially ready to go if the council approves the contract next Tuesday, as I understand. Talk about that situation a little bit and the individual that may be moving into that position.
Sure, I'm excited. Council is really not, you know, we're not involved with those kind of personnel hires and choices. That comes to the city manager and his department staff. So, you know, I know our city manager, Steve Potter, was working on that and deciding on how to best approach it. And then who would, I think he made the decision that this is a good time to bring in some outside eyes to do a full assessment of the police department in its entirety, you know, have that evaluation and assessment, identify, you know, next steps. And then he found this interim chief comes with a lot of experience, highly respected in the business. And so it's going to give the city manager and the police department a great opportunity to evaluate what's the next steps for the department. Where's this department go? A lot of talk about police reform over last year's the killing of George Floyd. So that's still an issue. So, you know, how are we doing as a city, as a department in those areas? You know, how we're addressing that. So I think this chief, is it Moore? I guess it's Sylvia Moore is how that's pronounced.
I was uncertain about pronunciation.
I was also. we have not met, but those are clearly the chief's decisions, his recommendation. Now council has to approve it, because I understand she's a retired from the system, so it can't just be an appointment. The council has to make that action, and those positions are limited to so many hours a year. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a great opportunity, and I've spoken with some police officers. I've spoken with the Police Officers Association, and I just, you know, said let's all go into this with open eyes, give it a chance, and we'll, you know, this is a great police department, and we're going to keep going, and we're going to make it continue that quality of service we provide. And this is an opportunity to look at that through an objective set of professional eyes. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited.
Is it correct to characterize this need for an interim chief being because the resignation of Robert Plummer came kind of abruptly, and it takes time to hire a permanent chief. Is that why there is an interim?
I imagine that's part of the city manager's thinking. I think it's an opportunity to look at internal candidates. Mm-hmm. Were internal candidates ready to assume the top position? Maybe they are. Was Chief Plummer's retiring was sudden, so this gives us a little breathing room to look at everything, and if it is going to be an internal promotion or it will be an outside search, all of that takes a little time, and I think this interim assessment will help the city manager make those determinations.
Mm-hmm. And is the interim chief, Sylvia Moore, if we're pronouncing it correct, and if that's approved, is she a candidate for the permanent position?
That's a possibility, but I don't believe that's the city manager's intent. And a lot of retired annuitants that do that, they're kind of on a circuit, and mm-hmm. it's a new opportunity to see different places and do some good work in communities. We had a retired fire chief, Vern Hamilton. He was a really progressive and a good fire chief. And mm-hmm. when he retired, he was recruited to go work in a lot of other departments. But he said, I don't want to settle in too long. Let me do the interim job. They're paid well. And I think it's interesting work. So, but whether Sylvia or Chief Moore is interested in a full-time position, that I haven't been in any discussion along those lines. Mm-hmm. I think it looks she's clearly coming here as an interim, but I guess that could change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's great that there have been steps in the right direction and getting some new leadership in there, new eyes that can really just check it all out for everybody.
Right. And let's put all the cards out on the table and see where we're doing everything right and where we could do
definitely,
things even
yeah,
better.
Yeah, exactly.
Better.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Do things better. That's it. You know,
One of our listeners offered a question in regard to, and this has come up a few times before, the idea of an independent police commission. Is that something that is a part of the work plan to review for the interim chief?
I would imagine that would be part of this interim process. Yeah, and how we're looking. I'm not opposed to an independent citizens review board. I've talked to some retired Napa police officers that would be willing to sit on that board too, as you get a kind of a broad base of representation on that. And I think during this interim time, those discussions will occur. You know, if we do in fact create this citizens board, how it will look and what will be their responsibilities. Are they only going to be called in when there's an officer involved shooting, or are they more active? But, That's a discussion that will happen certainly this coming year, and I think they're very effective in a lot of ways. You know, the community has a better understanding when you form these commissions. It's just like our Citizens Academy that we do for the, you know, we were holding three a year, and it really will educate a lot of people in the community that may serve on a commission. What the police department actually has to, what's today's modern police department, what are they responsible for, and how are they able to do their job? It's often an education, like, whoa, I didn't think about that. And that'll be part of this whole assessment evaluation of the police department.
Okay. One other topic, got some communication from another cannabis company that's planning to set up shop in Napa County in some fashion. And a few people have brought this topic up at different times in conversations. Is the city of Napa going to reconsider recreational adult use, as they sometimes call it, cannabis dispensary, going beyond the medical only that we currently allow?
Yes, we are. That's one of those topics that came up, and it's not a big cost. It doesn't cost the city's budget to modify certain ordinances. We've been approached by some local dispensaries, that that are established in Napa now. They're limited to certain areas and zoning. It's a light industrial zoning, and it's a medical office zoning. So right now they can't open up downtown on a retail, a commercial side, and of course in neighborhoods, we don't open them there. But they can't compete. Our local ones that are open now and established, they're unable to compete against deliveries from out of county. And so they're just asking, can we expand to recreational sales? We'll still have the medical side, because my understanding is if you have a medical card and the taxation is a little different if you're on a medical side than the recreational side. You can tax the recreational side a little higher, I guess. But they've asked, can we compete by just doing what California voters said we can do? And the council is receptive to that. So staff has been asked to look at our ordinance and prepare an updated ordinance that would allow that sale. It would not, my understanding, we're not looking at changing locations or changing the zoning where they would be allowed, but just how they retail their product.
Mm-hmm. Talking with Napa Mayor Scott Sedgley, and we've been visiting once a week on this Friday slot to get an update on things. Any messages that we haven't touched on you'd like to get out to the folks listening today?
Well, this week, you might have seen it came out in the Register, I think this morning, this Gray Haven, the restoration of the Eliza Yount Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
That's become causing the phone to ring quite a bit.
Yeah.
It's just a beautiful, if you're not familiar with the home, it's just a magnificent home.
Yeah, I'm looking at the photo right now. It's stunning.
Yeah, it was George Yount's widow built it, and it's been an apartment building for as long as I can remember, as a kid, and it was damaged in the earthquake, and so it was purchased with the plan to restore it, and so everybody was super excited about that. Well, now the use being proposed is a rehabilitation home, and so then I guess the big question will be how many, because they said entitled
hosting like six clients.
Yeah, that's by right. You can do a residential at your home in your neighborhood up to six, mm-hmm, by right. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like there might be a request to expand those numbers. But there's a legitimate concern of the client that might be housed there. If I live next door, I would certainly have considerations, and I would expect the operators to mitigate any issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, that's what it looks like. In fact, I'm going down there today. Not to talk so much about the use, but just to because I'm a guy that's in favor of historical preservation, and mm-hmm, and I just want to see the building before, mm-hmm, it gets occupied. I want a tour of the building.
Yeah.
But so we're trying to address the neighbors' concerns and make sure the operator understands what they're expected to do with their operation, but. Those things do come up, and it's always a difficult one. We need to house these individuals so they're not living on the riverbank. Like, none of us are happy about our homeless population, but here's an opportunity to maybe keep some individuals that have certain disabilities out of that situation.
Right.
But then where do you put them is always the big struggle. So we just have to get it. We have to get it right. And I believe this operator, they understand our position and they are a reputable operator.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's never been a sighting of a facility like that without a certain amount of friction and conversation. So I hope that people do need help. So I hope that gets worked out.
Mm-hmm. Understandable.
Napa Mayor Scott Sedgley, thanks for your time today. We'll talk to you again next week, huh?
Certainly. Have a great weekend.
All right.
You too.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM and KVON.com.